Well, good morning. Good morning to all of you in St. Andrews. Good morning to our friends in Isha Manor and to all of you who may be watching online. Now, I've dressed up a little bit more formally than I usually do because today is St. Patrick's Day and I wanted to show off my special St. Patrick's Day tie. Well, the subject of today's talk, as Patrick has mentioned, is prayer and listening. In An Ideal Husband, Oscar Wilde wrote Mrs. Cheverly addressing Lord Goring, and she said, "If only the English would learn how to talk and the Irish would learn how to listen, society here would be quite civilized." Now, leaving aside the civilized bit, it's possibly because I'm Irish, but most definitely because when I started preparing this talk, I realized how far I fall short in listening. I'm too quick to talk and too slow to listen. So if what I say this morning is addressed to you, it is addressed even more to me. In 1966, a plucky young woman from Croydon booked a passage on a boat that had the longest voyage and the most stops. And she boarded with £10 and a prayer that God would tell her where to stop, where to get off. And the boat continued on its voyage and eventually it got to Hong Kong, and she heard God saying that that's where she should disembark. Jackie Pullinger obeyed God. The Kowloon walled city was an urban slum that was dominated by gangs of what they call triads, who were involved in every crime from drugs to prostitution. There were pornographic film theaters, and it was just the most terrible place of darkness. And in that place of darkness, Jackie Pullinger started her amazing work of loving the unlovable. And in her book, Chasing the Dragon, which I can really recommend, she describes just what that involved. And she describes how God worked in the most amazing ways. Heroin addicts gave up their spoke in tongues, and they were cured of their addiction. Crime bosses surrendered their lives to God, and prostitutes quit their awful trade. So let me take a step back, because before that, when she was a student at the Royal School of Music, she was converted. And she said, and I quote, "My life became fuller than I had ever believed possible." And shortly after, when on a suburban train, a man leaned forward and asked her, "Do you believe in God?" She said, "No, I know him, and that's different." Now, we're not all called upon to be missionaries, but we are all called to know God. In John 17:5, we read about Jesus addressing the Father. "Now, this is eternal life, that they," in other words, his followers, then and now, "may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And in James's letter to the 12 tribes, we read, "Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you." So what has this got to do with listening? Well, if we know God and we draw close to him, it seems logical, if not always obvious, that we need to speak to him and to listen to him. The fact that the word "listen" appears more than 70 times in the Bible indicates just how important listening is. So what is listening? Why should we listen? And most importantly, from a practical point of view, how should we listen? What should we do about it? So first of all, what is it and what does it mean? Well, it goes far beyond just hearing words. It's actually about engaging our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. And for us, that holds immense significance. For us, it holds immense significance as Christians. Secondly, it's being attuned to his voice, just as Samuel was, although he may not have recognized it at first. Now, in January, Jolyon spoke, as Patrick mentioned, on recognizing God's voice. And just as an aside, it was an excellent talk, and I strongly recommend that you, if you haven't heard it, that you do listen to it via the website. And even if you've listened to it, it's well worth listening to again. But thirdly, it's seeking his wisdom and aligning our lives with his purpose. And finally, it's an ongoing journey of faith and trust, even when we don't get the answers we were hoping for or wanting, or even when we have to wait. Is it easy? No. As I indicated at the beginning, am I good at it? No. But that's the what. But why should we listen to God? As I said earlier, it's logical. And the logic is irrefutable. So let me flesh that out. Firstly, we've been made in God's image. And because God is relational, so we are relational. Just think of what happened during COVID. All the mental health problems that we experienced as a society was because our opportunities to relate to other people face to face were severely curtailed. As Michael Mitten, the Christian author and spiritual counselor, put it, the life of man is impoverished if he does not communicate with his Creator. Man is created as a responding creature. He must respond to his Maker. So just as we want to develop relationships with others and not live in isolation, so God longs to develop a relationship with us. Now, by definition, a relationship is two-way, isn't it? If one person talks and the other person never talks, or if one person talks and the other person never listens, the relationship will quickly break down. But most importantly, it's biblical to listen to God. Joyce Huggett wrote a very good book, Listening to God. And she wrote, men and women of God heeded the command to listen. They expected God to speak to them, because he had promised to do so, and because he had commanded them to listen. We heard that in our passage this morning, and we read about it in Exodus, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, Amos, Zechariah, the Gospels, and of course in Revelation. So it appears throughout the Bible, and we see it in God's clear command at the Transfiguration, Matthew 17:5. This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Now, it's all well and good knowing what's listening and what listening is and why we should do it, but the key question is, how do we integrate it into our lives? How do we develop that deep connection with our three-in-one God? We'll be pleased to hear that I'm only going to mention 5 ways, and there are a lot more, but these are my top 5. And the first is share honestly with our innermost feelings. Share our hopes and our fears, our joys and our sorrows, our successes and our failures, our fears and our desires. And it's okay to shout at God. It's okay to cry out to God. After all, he has given us his Holy Spirit to be our counselor. So share honestly. Be expectant. God can and will show up. Thirdly, be open. God can show up in very unusual ways. In the words of William Cowper's old hymn, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. But God can also use, and this is very important when you talk about being open, God can use everyday situations to communicate with us. I think I may have mentioned when we were living in Johannesburg, my wife Penny someone come to hang curtains, and this young man had a terrible stutter. He'd been caught in crossfire in the Soweto riots in 1976, and ever since then his speech had been severely impaired with this awful, awful stutter. Penny felt God saying very strongly, pray for him, which she did. She asked him first, obviously. And some weeks later, she was out shopping, and there was this young lad in the van, and he saw Penny, came running across, and he spoke to her. His stutter wasn't completely healed, but it was significantly better. And that's what happens. God speaks in the everyday, but sometimes unusual situations, the situations where we're least expecting it. Then be discerning. Don't be like the little boy who he was asked by his mother to say grace because they were having a visitor to dinner that evening. And just before dinner, the little boy said, Mummy, what must I say? So she said, oh, just say what you heard Daddy say this morning. So the visitor came. They sat down. The mother said, Johnny, will you say grace? And he said, oh, God, is it that awful man coming to dinner tonight? I read. I'm being a bit flippant, I know. But the point is that we should be discerning. And especially when it comes to decisions which may be life-changing. And Pete Gregg, in the prayer course, he uses a mnemonic ABC. Seek advice from a wise Christian. Ask, is it biblical? And then thirdly, is it common sense? So I think that's pretty wise. And lastly, be persistent and be patient. The fact that we don't hear from God immediately does not mean that he isn't present or that he hasn't heard us. There's no better example of this than the Exodus. The people of Israel coming out of Egypt were wandering around the desert for 40 years before they reached the promised land. So share our innermost feelings, be open, be expectant, be discerning, and be patient and persistent. And remember that we are all different. So if we're extrovert, we may listen to God in a different way from someone who is introvert. Extrovert may be into hearing God through group Bible study or drama or music or theatre, whereas introvert may seek out God through meditation or walking in the country. So let me bring this to a close. Rick Warren, in his inspiring book, The Purpose-Driven Life, wrote this. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, more important than developing a friendship with God. It's a relationship that will last forever. Paul told Timothy, some of these people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. Have you been missing out on the most important thing in life? You can do something about it starting now. Remember, it's your choice. You're as close to God as you choose to be. And if we choose to be close to God, we will want to speak to him and listen to him. And then, like Jackie Pullinger, we will find that our lives will be fuller than we ever thought possible. Speak, O Lord, your servant is listening. Amen.